need the words, really, do we? I think we just need a little rhythm just to remind ourselves of the verse. If we get very stuck, we can have the words back up again. How's our rhythm going, David? You just get us going with a little rhythm. I like it. It's good. Okay. So this is eternal life with me, knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Brilliant. Thank you. You're doing very well this morning. There's a Bible reference there as well. John chapter 17 and verse 3. There we are. Just in case anybody lost it. This is eternal life. Jesus himself saying, knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, one of the things my family enjoy doing, well, all through the year, but especially at Christmas time, is playing board games. Board games are fun, aren't they? Well, they have their fun aspects, shall we say. They can be surprisingly, you know what I mean about board games. We like them, and as a child, every Christmas, my parents would get us as a family a new board game, and there'd be great excitement as we'd look around the base of the Christmas tree, and there would be this big board game-shaped thing wrapped up, and we'd think, now, what is it this year? What have they got for us? What's it going to be? And it was things in those days like Dover Patrol and Tri-Tactics and things like that. Some of us may remember that. But each year, a new game. That'd be tremendous fun for Christmas Day and a few days to follow. Now, back at home at the moment, we have on our shelves a game called The Game of Life. And that is an interesting title, isn't it? The Game of Life. It's an interesting title. It's got me thinking. What is life actually about? The Game of Life. Is life a game at the end of the day? Or is there some more serious purpose to it? And if so, what is that serious purpose? What is life about? Is it pretty much trivial at the end of the day? Or is there something deep and lasting and meaningful about it? I wonder what your answer would be. I guess amongst ourselves this morning, there'd be a number of answers to that question. What is life actually about? We're going to think about it with the help of a few more board games this morning. Imagine you got your clipboard and you went down into the shopping centre at the centre of Tunbridge Wells and you had your questionnaire and you asked people one by one as they passed through their Christmas shopping, what do you think life is actually about? And I guess you'd get a variety of answers. Somebody might stop and say, well, it's a very interesting question. I do think about that. And I'm sure there's some more serious purpose to life, but I'm not very good at words and I find it a bit hard to articulate the answer to that. I'm sure there is something there, but I can't quite put it into words. I don't quite know what it is. Somebody else, you just managed to stop her as she's flying past with about 6 children and 18 Christmas bags. You say to her, madam, excuse me, what do you think life is about? And she said, oh, I can't possibly have time. My life is just one non-stop rush hour. I've got 3 kids. We both work. My husband commutes. We've got 3 kids to feed and water and clothe, and we've both got busy jobs. And then there's the ballet, and there's the music lessons, and there's the football, and there's this, and there's that, and the other, and all the crises. It's already, if you're students, you know, university students, you can think about that, drinking coffee all night, working what life's about. I'm too busy. Life is just a sort of rush hour for us. And somebody else says, well, they wander past rather more slowly, and you stop them, and they're quite easy to talk to. And they say, well, yeah, I don't know really. I just find there are so many decisions in life, I find it all quite hard, really. It's a bit of a labyrinth. And I have to sort of work through a labyrinth. There are so many questions, so many decisions to take, so many things I have to think about. And I can't always quite see the way through. I suppose there may be some bigger purpose behind it. I don't quite know what it is, really. And then somebody with a bit more excitement bounces along saying, oh, life's about taking risks. You got to take risks. That's how you get anywhere in life. You've got to sit around on your backside waiting for things to happen. You've got to get on with life and make something. You've got to be a success. You've got to do well. You've got to prove yourself. And you won't get anywhere unless you're a risk taker. Yeah, said somebody else, that I am a natural risk taker. But you see, the trouble with that sort of approach to life is that it doesn't always work, does it? Because you may think you're in control of events and doing well, but actually you're not really. And you find life's a bit more like a game of snakes and ladders. You know, you suddenly have an opportunity, you've got a career change or whatever, and zoom, and you're off. But it doesn't always work like that. The snakes as well as the ladders, and then something goes horribly wrong. There's a family crisis, there's a job problem, there's a this, there's a that. Who knows what it might be? And so you thought everything was going so well, you discover you're not really in control at all. And you're back at square one or square naught. Or maybe it's a health operation. Suddenly you thought it's a health issue. You suddenly thought you were healthy, and then you discover you've got to go to hospital and have a big operation, and you were seriously ill and you didn't know. Life isn't as easy as that. It's all very well taking risks. Yeah, it's probably good to take some risks, but you're not in control, and you discover that sooner or later. So probably somebody else going past with their shopping says, oh, I don't know, you just have to scrabble through, really, don't you? Do the best you can. Get through to the end, just do the best you can. You know, that's life, isn't it? And then in life, there's a whole area of conflict. You can't get far in life without conflict. And conflict can actually be rather fun, like playing Battleship. I like playing Battleship. Who else likes playing Battleship? Anyway, anybody want to come and play Battleship? Come on. Who likes to play? Come and have some youngster among us. Who likes to play Battleship? 2 minutes to play Battleship with me. There's an enthusiast. You got a Battleship player? All right then, come on. Battleship looks like Tom. Is it Tom's brother? Come on again, Thomas. You've got 2 minutes. Here's a Battleship. I've got a couple of ships hidden here, and you've got 2 minutes precisely to find them. You know how to play, don't you? I've got two players. All right then, okay. Fine, two players, even better. Brilliant, you know how to play, don't you? Do you know how to play? Yeah. You do? Okay, so you've got to give me the sort of D1 and that sort of thing, and then if there's a ship there, you win. Right, okay, off you go. So say, whichever you want to choose, which squares you want to choose, starting now.
E2.
Oh dear. Right, okay, carry on. Keep going, Thomas.
E1.
E1. Oh dear, E1, it's being sounded like a prophecy there, isn't it? Carry on, yep.
E3,
yes? No, this is really worrying. You're not meant to do as well as this. You haven't had a word with him already, have you, up there? No, alright, okay. Come on then, where are you going next?
E4.
Oh dear, right. What's our young friend here going to do?
A2.
Oh, A2, thank you for rescuing me, that's great. A2, that's more like it. Yep, where are you going next? E5. Oh, never mind. All right. Very good. But yeah, there's another one, and you've just got over a minute to find the other one, which may be harder. What do you reckon down here?
D4.
D4? Yay. Brilliant. Keep going then. Shout them out as fast as you can.
C4.
I'm doing well, and your time's running out. Keep going. Keep faster.
B3.
Yeah, I'm doing... I don't think I'm going to win this. Come on, keep going. Who?
B5.
Right, okay. So your time's nearly up, so if you go really slowly, I can yet win. A5.
C5.
Well done, Thomas. Very good. Well done, two of you. All right. You win. I should have made it 1 minute, shouldn't I, rather than 2 minutes. Oh, well, never mind. Battleship's great, isn't it? Conflict is fun when you play it like that on a board game. Yeah, great. Never mind. My ships are sunk. Such is life. Oh, well. But it's okay on a board game, isn't it? But more seriously, people say, well, you know, why is there so much conflict in the world? Why do people have to be so unkind and so cruel to one another? Why is there so much hostility, so much pain and grief that people bring on one another? So many battles out there. And then somebody says, well, actually, the battles that worry me are the battles in my own life, really. Battles with other people sometimes, even people close to me. Battles in my own life and personality. Those are the things I struggle with. And it's hard, really. And then even if you win in your game of Battleship or the life equivalent, so what if you do? So what if you get to the top of the ladder? So what if you're the greatest success the world has ever known? You've got your 6 million quid and your vast houses and all the rest and your happy holidays. And so what at the end of the day? You can get to the top of the ladder and find it's not been leaning on anything. And you think, well, is life actually just a trivial pursuit? Maybe it's all a bit pointless. And it might actually, if you ask somebody else zooming past in the shopping centre, what's life about, mate? He says, well, frankly, I haven't a clue, though. Now, that's why we need to turn to the Bible, because the Bible has answers to the questions about the game of life. Discover it's not just a game. There's a deep and a serious purpose to do with it, and it has something to do with that verse we were thinking about earlier, and which we're going to think about again. The song which he sang just now with its lively rhythm, we had these words, the man that God had made and the woman there with him turned their back on God. to get a deadly taste of sin. And that last song just points us to what the whole Bible tells us, which is that we cannot make sense of life, or the game of life, if you like. We cannot make sense of it if we leave God out of the picture. But that is what we so easily and often do. So many people live as kind of sort of practical atheists. They may have some sort of belief in God, but it doesn't actually make any difference to daily life. The guy called Alexander Solzhenitsyn, known to some of us, a survivor and a historian of the Soviet camps, the Gulag, in which millions of people perished under Joseph Stalin. Looking back over the 20th century with all its record of its cruelty and its wars and its dictatorships and everything, he said, looking back over the years, he's never forgotten what his nanny told him when he was very little and she sat him on her large Russian knee. And she said to him, "Люди забыли Бога, от того и все," meaning, people have forgotten God. And that is the whole problem. Люди забыли Бога. People have forgotten God. So having turned away from God, we need to find him again. And how do we do that? We need, of course, to connect. We need a connection. I mean, he's there somewhere, but we're out of touch. We've turned away. How do we find him? It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that for two reasons. Partly because he, by definition, if he's there, must be very, 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 very big. And I'm really very, very, very small. So that's one thing. But the deeper problem is that he is very, 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 very good. And I am not so good. And therefore, for us to try and connect, that's why it's so difficult. But the Bible tells us wonderfully that God has found a way to connect with us. That he has built a bridge to us. From one side, his side, to us. We can't go bridge building for those two reasons. He's too big, we're too small. He's too good, and we're not good. But he, in his great kindness, has built a bridge from his side. It's taken him a very, very long time to do that. Hundreds of years, in fact. It's been a very long countdown. Hundreds of years, and the Bible tells the story of God building a bridge, first with Israel, and then through the rest of the world. And after that very long countdown, there came a time when a baby was born. And God sent his son into the world. And that's why we think of the manger and the baby Jesus at Christmas time. But of course, he didn't stay a baby. We think of him as a baby at Christmas. We didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He became a man. He lived that wonderful life which has impacted world history more than any other human life ever lived. And he gave up that life for us when he laid it down on the cross for us. But that wasn't the end of the story. And we know that 3 days later, he rose again. He broke through death and came out the other side. And he lives today as the one who can bring us to know God for ourselves. That's why Jesus is so, so important. What was that verse? We don't need it on the screen. David, just give us a little, let's just get a little rhythm again, will you? Now, what is life all about? What is life all about? This is eternal life. What is life about? And here we go. Knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing you, the one true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Brilliant. And because God has built the bridge through Jesus, we can know him and know Jesus Christ, his son, who's come into the world for us. Now, that's a great moment. When you understand that, you can say linky. You say, I've got a connection. We're back in touch. That link between us and him which had lost, it's been reestablished. I'm in touch. I know God. I can know him personally. And that is what life is about. And how many, if we ask how many ways back to God can there be, the answer is just one. Uno. Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. It's not me or other Christians making that up. It's what Jesus says. No one comes to God the Father except through me. You might say that he's got the monopoly of the ways to God. It's all found in Jesus Christ. Knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He is one God's one and only Son. And it's by knowing him that we find God as our Father. Now that sort of talk, and I only ought to start saying that. Somebody said, well, you can't talk like that in our modern pluralistic world. Everybody is so different. There's got to be lots of different ways. It's to take that sort of line and say it's got to be Jesus. Well, that's taboo these days. You really can't talk like that. But we don't think that. We who find Jesus Christ to be real don't say this is taboo. We say it's wonderful. In fact, when the penny first drops, as it may in somebody's experience, you say this is brilliant. Kaplunk! I've got there. Brilliant! I understand. And in Jesus I've found eternal life. I could in fact say that I've got a ticket to ride. I've got a ticket to ride all the way through life with him by my side, and I know that nothing, and not even death, when it comes as it surely will, not even death can take that eternal life away. It is brilliant news, knowing you, the one true God. Not knowing about, but knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is life about? Jesus himself tells us.